What you have in front of you are excerpts in three parshiyos. Lech Lecha, which is on the top right-hand corner, Vayera following below, and then this week's parsha Toldos. And what we're going to examine are three incidents that are they have a common denominator, namely the common denominator being the connection between, as you'll see in a moment, Avraham Avinu and Paro Melech Mitzrayim over here in Lech Lecha. Then Vayera Avimelech, and then again in Toldos Avimelech. And we will examine the distinction between these three, and this really, all of them require a fair amount of analysis. And we'll see also the distinction between Hashem's relationship to Avimelech, Hashem's relationship to Paro. That's what we're going to examine. This came about as a result of Arye Chaik and Shlita, my Rebbe. And so let's start with the upper right-hand corner, the parsha that the Torah has with reference to Paro. Vayi Rav Baretz, I underline every pasuk basically. Vayered Avram Mitzrayim al Agurshav. There's a famine. Avram Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim. This, by the way, as you probably know, is a big machlokes of Rishonim whether Avram acted properly, didn't act properly. In general, are you allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? And the answer is yes. For what are you allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? For several things. One,
learning.
Two, keep it on my
life.
Get married. Four, parnasa. Excellent. Five, if there's a rod, if there's a famine, you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. So Avraham Avinu left Eretz Yisrael. But this is the subject of the big machlokes of Rishonim. Should he had more bitachon and not left Eretz Yisrael? That's the subject of a number of Rishonim contend that, and others say no. He had the right to leave Eretz Yisrael. It's a Gemara about Vasa. It's a whole discussion on Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Vayera Avraham Mitzrayim alog Rishon ki chaveh Rav Aretz. And now, listen carefully and follow the psukim. It's very important to follow the psukim here. That's why I'm going to read them carefully. Vayi kashehikim lovam Mitzrayim. Vayomer Sarai Yishto, he tells his wife, Hineino yadati ki isha yipas mareot, you are very handsome, you're pretty, you're attractive. Vayo ki yiro socha mitzvim yomu ishto zos, if the Egyptians see you, and they are aware of the fact that you are my wife, guess what? Vahorgu osi, also mechadim. Essentially, I'm a dead man, and they'll obviously get rid of me in order to take you. So therefore, he makes a deal with her. What does he tell her? You're my sister. In order that it should be good for me, because of you, I'll remain alive. It's a question of self-preservation, of hatzalah. That's what Avraham Avinu does. The Torah goes on. Exactly as he predicted. But he said, and what do they say? She's ready for a beauty pageant. Vayiru also sorry Paro. They see her. Vayhalu also Paro. Right away they tell Paro, there's this outstanding young woman out there, very attractive, very pretty. Vatukacha isha beis Paro. The language of vatukach means that she was forcibly taken. Forcibly. Vatukach, the pu'al form. That means they basically grabbed her off the street. Uli Avram hated Bavura as a result. And Avram, the Torah tells us that for him it was a positive thing. In what sense? So now suddenly he's laden with plenty, all kinds of wealth, all kinds of booty. But right away the Torah says, the Almighty is not sleeping. He's not in the state of slumber. And quickly, what happens? Right away, Paro is afflicted. Nigoim dolid. The Torah doesn't describe the specific nigoim that took place, but that's a separate discussion. But anyway, he's being punished. Vayuka Paro le'Avram. Vayomer ma'azos ha'sisali. What did you do to me? Lama l'gadat aliki ishtachai. Why didn't you tell me it's your wife? Lama amarta achosihi. Why didn't you tell me it was your sister? V'akachos alvi l'yesho. And then I grabbed her. Yato hine ishtachai kachon. Here's your wife. Take her back. Goodbye, Charlie. By Tzavalo Paro Anoshim, and then Paro sends people, by Shalcho Sov Yisisho Mitzvah Shalom, to accompany Avram and Sarah. Basically, he sent them out of the country, by Yal Avram and Mitzvah, who be Ishto, Tzvachal HaShalom, Velo Dimar Negba, by Avram Kamei Mio, by Mikna Bakesu Vazor. That's the first story that the Torah tells us over here with Paro. Let's go to the next story, which is in Vayera. There are three stories. Now the second story in Vayera, which is 2 weeks ago, Vayisa Misham Avram Arza Negev, Vayesha Ben Kaddish Ben Shur, Vayoga Begroar. Avram is living in Groar. Vayomer Avram Al-Sara Ishtu Achosihi. By the way, notice, no longer is there any discussion of a deal because the deal is self-explanatory. It's understood. It's implicit. That's the nature of the arrangement that they have, Avram and his wife. So he tells Sarah, you are my sister. No problem. That's his sister. She's obviously available to anyone on the block. And so he goes ahead and takes her. Hashem comes to him. You're going to suffer the death penalty. She's a married woman. He never got near her. He says, Hashem, what? A tzaddik like me you're going to kill? Hello, he Amar Li Achosihi. When I asked her whom she is, what did she say? I'm a sister. Vehi Gam Hi Amra Achihu. Rather, he said, Avraham Avinu said, it's my sister. And she said, he's my brother. So everything that I did was B'Som Lavavi U'Benik Yom Kapai Asisi Zos. What does that mean, B'Som? I did it B'Tomle. Tomle means what? I'm an innocent fella. And my hands are clean. I'm completely and totally innocent. I'm a good guy. I'm wonderful. I'm outstanding, he tells Hashem. Ayom elav elokim, b'chalom, Hashem appears to him in a dream. Gam anochi yadati ki b'som levav chasis asos. By the way, notice he had two tainas. One is b'som levavi, and the other is b'nikon kapai. So what does Hashem defend? Which taina? Only one. Hashem says to him, I also loki b'som levav chas. But kind of there was no b'nikon kapai over here. Okay, there's what to talk about, but that's a longer discussion again. So the Torah says, "Va'echso kavanochi oscha mechatoli." I prevented you from sinning. Al kein lo nesatiro d'mgoi. That's not you did not come into contact with her. I prevented that from happening. V'ato hoshem eishes oish. Return the married woman. Ki novi hu, because Avram is a novi. He's followed by Avcha bechiei. By the way, this is a Mishnah Baba Kama in Perak Hachovel. I don't know if you got there last year. The last Mishnah in Hachovel. You're probably familiar with that Mishnah. There's a din that a person who, if you hit somebody, you're liable for five payments. Nezek, Tzar, Vipoj, Sheves, and Moshe. But then, that's the first Mishnah Achaybel. And the last Mishnah Achaybel says, even if you made all these payments, that's not sufficient. What else do you have to do? You have to ask for Mechila. If I, God forbid, cause, this is my Rebbe over here. You know that? He's a yeshiva shem. He's a very yeshivish guy. I'm sorry, I apologize. I say that in a positive way.
I'm joking. Love it.
Excellent. I said honestly, very positively. You have many, many beautiful yeshivish elements to you that I admire. And I would like to acquire them, but I'm not sure I would have to apprentice myself to you. That may be somewhat dangerous. Anyway, no, it's a good thing. Seriously.
Thank you, man.
Okay, back in the... So the Mishnah, the end of Achovel, the Mishnah says that it's not sufficient to pay these five payments, but rather, you have to ask the Mechila. How do we know that? From this passage, the Mishnah brings Rabbi. Hashem Eshe Sahish Ki Navihu, V'Yispal Abakha Bechei, he'll daven for you, and you'll be able to get Mechila. V'Imencha Meishiv, if you don't return her, Da Kimos Tomus Atomach HaShalom, you're going to suffer what? The death penalty. He gives a psakanta drosha, a whole drosha about what happened. By you, they're frightened out of their wits. What did you do to us? Why did you put me in this situation where things that should not have been done, you did? And those basically, whom does he place the onus on? Avraham Avinu. Jacques, you're the one. You're the guilty party. A little French never heard. Mora Isak, Yasisa, Darazet. We have some of Montreal over here. You still speak French, I hope. Baruch Hashem. You speak French in your home?
Yes, my home.
Wow, great. Unbelievable. How many languages are you fluent in? You're a polyglot. French, English, Hebrew. Aramaic, Yiddish, what else? That probably too, you got enough of them over there in Canada. Is that also, you speak that language as well? Wow, so five languages or six? Outstanding, wow. I'm going to apprentice myself to you as well. Anyway, so it says here, What does Avram say? Avram says, Avram, Mori, so why did you do this? Vayomer Avram, ki amarti, rakin yiras elokim b'amokam hazeh, famous pasuk. You know what Avram said? Where there's no yiras shamayim, varaguni al varishti. Oh, I was wondering where you are. Baruch Hashem. Varaguni al varishti. There would have been murder committed over here, if not for yiras shamayim. And there is no yiras shamayim over here. The gan mamna, and then he says, a shukul teira. I love this. She really is my sister. How? Basovi, achlo basimi, a whole shtickle tailor. A pilpul. He tells the pilpul to whom to Avimelech. You know, he's holding his pilpul. He learned the Torah Shraga. He learned studies in Shef Shmeitzes. He studies by Rabbi Reichman. This is quite hilarious. He's giving him a shtickle tailor. I can't go into it right now because each one requires a lot of detail. Gam omna achesi basovi, achlo basimi, vativi the isha. And that's why she became my wife. But she's really my sister. Tzvei dinim. The Torah goes on. And then, when I know I'm wandering around, I'm going to and fro. I told her, Zechase, do me a favor, I said to my wife. Do me a favor, wherever we go, how should you identify yourself and me? I'm your brother, and you're my sister. So now the Torah says, wow, he returns Sarah and he plies him with tzon, bakar, abadim, shvachos, all kinds of wonderful matanos. I'm making you citizen number one. Live here. I'm giving you a massive mansion to live in. It's all yours. To your brother. Even though he knows that she's his wife. What does he call her? Apparently, he liked the pilpul, and I don't know if he gave it. He named Asadi Elo Kesev Lachis. I'm giving you 1,000 pieces of silver. He named Lachsusenayim, Chalashitav, his called Rachachas. So, what happens? Vaispal Avram Hilokim, Avram Davins, Vayipur Elokim Savimelech, Ves Ishto. And they were essentially in a very difficult situation. According to Chazal, what happened over here? That he had to daven in order that they should be able to give birth. Ki Otzer Otzer Hashem Yaakov Rechav, Ves Savimelech. You know what happened? Every orifice in their body that was open was now closed. That is not a good thing. You know what I'm referring to? There are several orifices in the person's body. Should I go into detail?
No.
Oh, being that I'm a biology major, so I have what to say about this, but I won't right now. I won't go through the gory details. Anyway, it gets pretty, when a person cannot do that which they have to do, things can get pretty, how would you describe it?
Messy.
Messy. That, this is yeshiva, the guy goes. Messy is correct. Uncomfortable, yeah. Messy, and a few other things along the way. Ki otzer atah Hashem, b'yad kol rechav, b'yad samim elach. Everything was closed up. What does it say in simple English? Fashtop. You know what fashtop means? Stuffed up. When you have, certain parts of the washrooms that are stuffed up, that is not a good thing. And then they can sometimes overflow. I'm not going into detail. But anyway, that's what happened to their individual persona. Fine. That's the second story. Now let's come to the third story. More or less, I'm just trying to get the headlines, and then we'll get to analyze what's going on here. Third story is in Toldot 6 weeks Parshah. Vayeshev Yitzhak Bigvar. Wow. We've been in this movie once and twice, and now the third time. In Hebrew, this expression. You probably know this expression. Kvahayinu Maseret Hazeh. We already were in this movie. This is the third time we're going to see the movie. The Torah has wonderful movies. I don't think you're aware of it. You should know. You got such a beautiful haircut. I can't get past that haircut. I love it. Who does it here?
What?
Who does it here?
Anybody?
Anybody?
I wouldn't trust some people here. There's a Mishnah of the Zohar. You know the Mishnah of the Zohar? Talks about a guy giving a person a haircut. You got to be very careful. Who knows what might happen? But here, you can trust people here?
Yeah.
Why? Based on what? Erech and Misur?
Yeah.
Anyway, so the Torah goes on. This is the third event. Vayeshev Yitzhak Bigror. So now again, Yitzhak is where? He's in Gror. By the way, who else lived in Gror in the second event of Vayera? Avram, now Yitzhak. Vayishalo Anshem Mokom Mishto. They inquire. Vayomer, guess what? Achaisi hi. She's my sister. It's like a chazok already. Three times. Ki yorei leimar ishti, because he's frightened to say that she's my wife. Ben yarguni hashem bokam avivka ki teves marahi. She's also a very good-looking woman, and he was frightened to identify her as his wife. Vayi ki orchel l'shem hayomim. After a period of time, vayashkev avimelech v'al plishtim v'yad ha-chalom. He's looking out the window. Vayinar v'yinei yitzah mitzachek es vivka ishto.
Just.
Thank you. You saved us again. The yeshiva just saved us. Hatzala, I'm not joking. So this is the
subject.
That's
great. That's
excellent. That's also good. Shall we say he's jesting with his wife? Let's put a blush on Sagi Noah. Vayikav Yimelech Yitzchak. Vayomer Achinei Yishtachai. What's going on over here? He sees him with his wife, consorting, as it were, of sorts. Wow, this is your wife. How did you say that this is your sister? I said to myself, if I identify her as my wife, again, goodbye, Charlie. I'm essentially a corpus delectus. I'm God. What did you do to us? You know what happened here? We almost had here a situation which would have been absolutely unconscionable. That someone would have literally consorted with her, and it would have been absolutely horrific. He now issues a decree, a royal decree. Whoever touches this guy or her is subject to the death penalty. And of course, after that, everything is just Shangri-La. This is not the Ne'er Sharm over here. This is the Ne'er Sharm family. Okay, so we have here three stories, one after the next, and you obviously do see some distinction between story number one, story number one, story number two, story number three, I would imagine. So now let's look into the three stories. We don't have as much time as I thought we had, but okay, that's always the case. And I will attempt to try to show you distinction between these three stories. Let me just mention another pasuk that isn't actually Xerox over here, but you perhaps may remember this pasuk. There's a pasuk earlier on in Perek Chaf Aleph, that's what I was going to refer to a second ago, in Perek Chaf Aleph, in Vayera, Vashem Pakad Esara, that's what we read actually at Rosh Hashanah, when Sarah gave birth to Yitzhak. So there's a pasuk there that says, Ches, Vayigal Hayela, Vayigomal, after Yitzhak was weaned, Vayas Avram Mishteh Gadol, Avram made a great party. Biyom Yigomal is Yitzhak. Some say, hey Gimel, it was day number 8. Let's not get into that right now. Comes Rashi, says Rashi, Mishteh Gadol, he made a big party. Shahu Shem Dolei Ador. Who was at this party? The Dolei Ador. Shem Be'eber, Vahavi Melech. You hear this? Shame the Eber, they have a yeshiva. You're aware of that. What exactly they taught in that yeshiva is the subject of a lot of discussion. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal has a long essay on this topic. What they taught there. Clearly. What else? Rabbi Chaim Brisker. Clearly. Brisker up. Clearly. Rabbi Soloveitchik. And Shum Sofer. How in heaven's name they're able to do that? Only Rabbi Chaim Weinstein knows. But anyway, so you have Shem Be'eber, and then Rashi adds one other god of Ador. Who's that? Avimelech. My father, Vashon, saw this Rashi, and essentially went bonkers. Dolei Ador. I understand Shem Be'eber. They were Nevi'im. They had a yeshiva. You know the yeshiva Shem Be'eber? Whatever they learned there. You'll read yesterday, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, you'll know what they learned there. They had a Beis Medrash in Yerushalayim. Avimelech? He's from the Dolei Ador. It's like saying that Donald Trump is one of the Dolei Ador. You read all his tweets?
Nope.
Why not?
I don't have Twitter.
Sadiq, you say that? Where do we find these Sadiqim? Where do we get them? Wow. Ashrecha. Can I become a Talmud of yours also? I'm already a Talmud of his.
I have a little bit of a waiting list, but...
It says that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to have the Gemara and Saita, a Shminish of a Shminish of Gaiva, 1/8 of 1/8. You got a slightly bit more. That's great, that's good. Avimelech, he's from the Dolei Ador. So now he's from the Dolei Ador. Let me ask you a question. Who's the first guy here? Paro! Why shouldn't he be among the Dolei Ador as well? This is my father asked me.
You touched
what?
You touched
1 second, so we're going to try to make chilukin. Excellent, well, you're right on the case of it. This is also my Rebbe. My Rebbe Mubo Kibat. Very outstanding young man. We have a lot of outstanding young men here. You know what someone just told me? Someone met someone from the yeshiva, a Shana Al student, I don't want to say which one. God is not here now, thank God. Anyway, so the someone from my community, and this young man spoke to him and even told him a Dvar Torah. This fellow almost literally fainted. So I said, what did you faint for? We have great Talmidei Chacham in our yeshiva. Don't you know what we have here? And I said, we have Dolei Ador. We don't have Stam, shall we say...
Amaratzes.
Thank you. I would pronounce as Amaratzes, but okay, that's fine. So, Avimelech is a Dolei Ador? More than Paro Melech Mitzrayim? So one could say, here's what I told my father, Zechen Lebrach. Very balabatish. I didn't have a good answer to this question. My father used to ask us, I spent some money on yeshiva education, which I never had in my life, and you don't answer any of my questions on Chumash. So what did I tell him? I don't deal with Chumash, that's for simple people. I deal with Chef Schmeitzes and Abchai Riskes. That's what I do. So one could say, the distinction is that Paro lived in Chutz Laaretz, in Mitzrayim. You know where Avimelech was? In Gror, that's where? In Eretz Yisrael. Is that a proper answer? Or, to quote one of our English compatriots, is that a proper answer? It's only proper if you have tea with a spot of lemon. Or a spot of cream, sorry. So the real answer is, you have to carefully examine the distinction between Paramount and Prime. You already started on the case? The distinction, do we have any Brits here right now?
No.
Okay, I guess they have.
They need a separate shiva.
Essentially they probably went back to London because there was no tea with a spot of cream. Anyway, so now, let's take a look. I have to make this, I'm really pressed for time, and I just began. Number one, take a look at the distinction between Paro and Avimelech. With Avimelech, Hashem speaks. Does Hashem speak to Paro?
No.
Now, could be. The reason for that might be because there's no Nevuah where?
Outside
of Eretz Yisrael. Excellent. Thank you very much. That's a Ramban in Zolin, that's a Kuzari. And we shouldn't talk a lot about this issue. Are you aware of that, Klau? Nevuah is not in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, when Paro goes ahead and takes Sarah, Hashem, what does he do? Here, Pastor Yud Zayin, he afflicts him with the Goyim Gedolim. He doesn't talk to him. When Avimelech takes Sarah, Hashem, yes, afflicts him. Look at Perichav, Pasuk Yud Ches, right over here on the bottom. However, the last Pasuk on the bottom of the page. However, together with that, Hashem appears to him. Pasuk Gimel. Vayavelo, Gimel, Avimelech, Mechalom, Alayla. Vayavelo, Him Chameis, Ali Shazos. So what's happening? Avimelech is Zochet to what? To Nevuah. Literally, it's a conversation with Hashem Yisbarach. And Paro, clearly, there's no Hisgalus. The only thing that Paro has is what? The Goyim. Furthermore.
Did Avram pray for Paro?
I'm sorry?
Did Avram daven for Paro?
Take a look. Yeah. You're another one. You're jumping on everything. He's mamish, my Rebbe Mubok. I just found my Rebbe Mubok. Very good, we can say. I'll get to that in a short moment, if you don't mind. Besides that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, when Avimelech comes and says, HaGoy Gam Tzadik Taro, a goy like me and a tzadik, you're going to kill some of Bobby, but when he comes up, I see Zos. So what does Hashem say? Yeah, part of what you're saying is right. Namely, Bissom Bavavcha, but not Nik Yom Kapai, but at least something. So, what do we see? Paro, Hashem doesn't speak to him. Paro, Hashem does not accept any of his titles, he doesn't even deal with him. But Avimelech, Hashem talks to, he even justifies some of his position. Apparently, what do you see? Avimelech is in a high madrega than Paro. Now, again, we call him what? Gol Ador! My father couldn't get past that. Not only that, beyond that. Paro calls Avraham and asks him, Mazosa Sisalia on the top of the page, Pasuk Yutes. What did you do? Avram doesn't answer him at all. With Abimelech, the whole conversation. Here, Pasuk Yud, the bottom of the page. Avram says, Ki amarti rakim yirsalukim mabogam hazeh. And on, and then the whole pilpul that he says, she really is my sister, and she's my wife, because we're briskers. Tzaydinim. So I didn't really fool you entirely when I told you that Sarah is my sister, because she's partially my sister. She's also my wife. How's that possible? Brisk. In brisk, you can have A is B, and B is A, and both are correct. You're right, and you're right. And how's it possible you're right and you're right? The answer is, and you're both right. Lamai said to Avimelech, Avram doesn't answer right away. It says over here, Vayik Avimelech le'Avram, I'm reading now Pasuk test. What did you do this for? There's no interaction of Avram Avinu, but a little bit later, Pasuk Yud. Why did you do it? Avram says, there's no Yerushalayim here. There's no Yerushalayim. What happens then? The person done a Rahman with son go off the deep end. So why is it on the second question of Avimelech, Avram answers? On the first question, he doesn't answer. So apparently the answer is Pashin. This is what I heard from Hagoyim Rav Avigdor Levitz. I asked him a lot of these questions. And he said, initially, Avram Avinu, what does he do? When Avimelech interrupts Avram Avinu, and he said, Necho Tassilach, I didn't do anything. You're guilty! Jacuz! Masim Asher Asisa! Asher Lo Yosu! That kind of chutzpah, Avram Avinu doesn't feel the need to respond to. He doesn't respond to it. Absolutely not. However, the second time, guess what? Vayom Avimelech, Mara Yisro Ki Asisa Zadavar Azeh. He speaks in a different kind of tone. What kind of tone? Much softer. Much more conciliatory. Correct? Much more moderate. So there, the Torah says, to that tone, what happens? Then Avraham Avinu responds to him. Beyond that, the reason why Avraham Avinu does not answer the first question of Avimelech is exactly the same reason why he doesn't respond to Paro at all. Paro's not interested in hearing his bearing. What does Paro do? He screams, Avraham! Mazal tzisoli! Lama ma'adachosi! And without even waiting for an answer, he says, Avram, v'yata, hine ishtecha, kach v'lech. What does he tell him? Get out of here. And essentially, what does he do? He throws him out. So obviously, the one who's not in order over here is Paro, not Avram. The fact that Hashem sends the going to whom? To Paro, not to Avram. So Avram had what to say to Paro. But if Paro speaks in such a fashion, with such impudence, with such temerity, with such chutzpah, with such tenacity, there's no point speaking to such a person. Whoever speaks in that kind of a form, you don't have to listen to what he has to say. Another distinction between Paro and Avimelech. Avimelech is ready to listen to the Hanhoga of Avram Avinu. There's what to talk to. There's someone to speak to. Paro has no interest in listening whatsoever. There's nothing to talk to. No one to talk to. Shall I make an analogy? Shall I draw an analogy?
Yeah.
We have here in this country very, very fine partners. They want to make peace. You aware of that? Essentially what that means is peace is spelled P-I-E-C-E.
As in, no.
They want to cut us into pieces. They want to quarter us. Or divide us into 12 pieces and send a chelek to all the shifte Yisrael.
That's what she got to say to that.
Can we talk to such people? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, "Chazal d'bracha." Shalom. He understood very well. There's no one to talk to. And so did my Rebbe, Abban Soloveitchi Zatzal. Olav Shalom. Zechen d'bracha. He also understood that. He and Lubavitcher Rebbe were on the same page. There are people in your country who think yes, we can make peace. No problem. Give up Yerushalayim. Give up the Beis Hamikdash. Give up Beit Shemesh. Except for the area where I have my shul. That will leave. Beyond that, let me ask you. Paro, Melech Mitzrayim, take a look. Does he attempt to compensate Avraham Avinu? Does he try to appease him in some form of fashion? Now he does not appease him. What does he say? Hine ishtecha, kach v'lech. Get out of here! You blankety blankety blank. You upstart. You ruffian. You terrorist! Avimelech, what does he do? Wow. He plies Avraham Avinu with what? So Uvakar Avodim Ushvachis Laitan Avraham. He apologizes to Sarah. Wow, wow, wow. So what do we say? Avimelech, relative to Paro, essentially what is he?
Galado.
You hear? I want to go a bit further. So what does Avraham Avinu... What does Avraham Avinu... I just attempted to stop the watch. Anyway, what does Avraham Avinu say to Avimelech on his question? Why didn't he tell Avimelech that Sarah is my wife? So Avraham Avinu says on the bottom of the page, Ki Amarti, Rak and Yiras Elokim Bamokam Azeh. He's probably the only one who understands this sentence is someone with a yeshivish background. What does this mean? Ki Amarti, Rak and Yiras Elokim Bamokam Azeh. That you can be the Gadol Hador. You can act Ki'ilu Bisom Levavi. You can be a person full of etiquette. You know what etiquette is? How one behaves, namely, with all the... I got it. We got some English people. Proper dignity! You could walk around in a proper kind of way, as the English over here. The Brits that we have. You can give me 1,000 pieces of silver. You can offer me a house in the Eretz Plishtim. However, there's one problem. A person who doesn't have Yerei Shamayim, has no Yiras Elokim, you know what all your etiquette is worth? Not a shmek tabak. You can translate that Yiddish expression. Not a snuff of tobacco. Not a shove of pruta, okay. How shall I put it? Not a penny. Not a farthing. What are the coinage we have over there? Over there? Not a loony! They still have Looney Tunes over there? That whole place is loony. Anyway, the kids are, so, in my days, when I was in Toronto, they wanted those separatists. They're still around, those characters. They want to separate Quebec and make it a separate country. They're not operating with a full deck, those guys. They're Daffy, bats in the belfry. Some screws are loose. You know, the Prime Minister... you know the Prime Minister? Probably a good friend of yours. You know, his father was also the Prime Minister. Okay, I won't go into it any further. If there's no U.S. Elohim, so you know what can happen? Money, taiva, whatever I have, essentially I'm ready to go and kill people left and right. So Avimelech is a very legal kind of person. Everything he does is technically correct. He's very careful how he operates. He doesn't take stam sara. Hazal, the Rashi quotes it. Oh, who knows Rashi over here? Aryeh, what does he go about? First he asks all the chamarim and the gamalim, Shine says ish. According to Rashi, that's what he points out. And obviously if you're a good lawyer, you'll find the right si'if. You'll find the right
line of questioning.
Corollary in the laws of justice to justify what you're doing, you can basically find an answer to do anything. By the way, you ever read about the mafioso? You look like you're familiar with that. They're not familiar with them. You ever read about the mafioso, Heber? They're outstanding guys. They are so unbelievable. You know, I'm talking about these crime families. We have here some people from Chicago. You better watch out for them. I'm telling you, I would trust them in the dark in the middle of the night. I'm sure they're all connected to the crime families. And in Shum Safek. Except for this one. He did tshuva. But anyway.
I'm still going strong, Rashi.
Hashem. You know how they operate? They, what do they do? Tell me, give me a little description of the mafioso. With themselves and their own families, they are, wow, they are mamish, they eat only badas. Only b'eda chavedis. They are kosher v'yosher. They daven, and they daven with such kabono. It was almost the speed of, was it 106,000 miles per second? Is that the speed of light? But however, when they deal with other people, they are sneaky, crooked, perverse, doggedly sinister, you name it. You familiar with that type?
Yeah.
I knew I talked to the right person. Anyway, so here's my point. My point is that that's what exactly what Avraham Avinu detected. You can be the Gadol HaDor, and you can be a Gazlan, and a Rotzeach, and a Ganav, and a good for nothing, and a no good Nick, and a bandit, and who knows what else. But what I wanted to show you here was the analogy. By the way, there's a third story, but that's the one over here and told us. Should we look at it for 1 second? We just read it before. How would you say this story compares to the other two? Is this story similar to number one or number two? What would you say?
It's its own animal.
That's correct. It's a separate parsha, and it needs separate analysis, which I'm not doing now. But what I want to comment on is the following. And this, I think, is really the yesod that is really very, very significant and very important. Chazal say, if a person tells you, Yesh chochma b'goyim, that there's wisdom among the non-Jews, Tamim. There's no question. The non-Jews have enormous wisdom in sciences, in technology, in many, many areas. Ain't shum something. You can be a great chochem among the goyim. However, if someone tells you, Yesh Torah b'goyim, that they have Torah, al Tamim. Don't believe them for a second. You're familiar with that statement?
Yeah, I just heard it.
Baruch Hashem. It's actually, I believe, an Eicha Rabba. Is that where it is? The Medrash Rabba and Eicha. Anyway, essentially, when a non-Jew studies Torah, which some of them do, some of them are proficient in Tanakh, they are proficient in the Talmud, there's a fellow who translated the entire Mishnayos, a pastor. You know what a pastor is?
Sure.
What's a pastor?
A goy gomer.
No, that we know. He's a goy gomer, he's a priest. Cleric, a priest named Danby, translated the Mishnayos into English. So obviously they're capable of learning. You're capable, much more capable than they are, with all due respect to these wonderful chaps. So one can be a great professor and very knowledgeable and all that. However, the problem is that with a goy, the Torah is just another abstract piece of knowledge. It doesn't affect his persona, doesn't penetrate his personality, doesn't transform him, doesn't change him, and there's no need to change him. There was a professor of ethics. Are you familiar with ethics? Morality, ethics. A great professor in the area of ethics and morality. He was a big bucky in this area. However, he himself was a very unethical person, immoral individual, and the like. So the answer is, how's that possible? You're a professor of ethics. How could you be immoral? Isn't that a steer of an obey? Or what they call is an oxymoron? Your ox had a moron. So he said, what? A professor has to be like a triangle? Is that what a professor has to be? No, he said. I teach about triangles, and I teach vectors, and I teach pi, and sets, and who knows what. I don't know what's going on in the world of mathematics today. I'm not holding by it, I'm sure you are. However, personally, I'm not a triangle. I'm a guy with two arms and two legs, etc., etc. So I teach ethics. But there's no shaykhus to me at all. It's pure abstract. Or, among the great Roman intelligentsia, among the great Roman scholars, academicians, there was a person that he once wrote an essay on anger. And the maidservant accidentally spilled some ink on the essay. He got angry, he killed her on the spot. So the answer, what? You write an essay on anger, you kill on the spot? What's the answer is, Tveidinim. What am I, Tveidinim? That which I'm lecturing about, that's one thing. And that which I am is something else. There's no connection between the two. The chokhma becomes an abstract kind of chokhma without any lemaisa. And that's the godless of Torah. The godless of Torah is that it has to affect us. It affects us in the most personal way. It affects us, it transforms our personalities. It changes our lives. It affects our character. Halokod v'ray ka'ish nu mashem. The Torah is compared to fire. And you know what fire does? Fire burns. It's a catharsis. It's mitayer my inside, my outside. It changes me entirely. So here we have two personalities. Someone asked me this morning, this Avimelech had told us, is he the same Avimelech as the one in Vayera? And I asked him the same question. Every Paro is the same Paro, going all the way from here, all the way to Mitzrayim. Or they're all called by the name Paro. Perhaps they all call the names of the Pharaohs, what do they call them? Paro. And they all call the names of the king of where in Gror where he was? Abimelech. They all got the same name. But the point I'm making is, we go from Paro to Abimelech, and then all this is contrast to Avraham Avinu and Tzor Imenu. They represent Torah. It's not just Chochmah. It's Chochmah that affects our neshama, our entire persona. That's the beauty of Torah. You look at Torah personalities, you look at Gdolei Yisrael. I'm Zocheh, in my life, starting to know a number of great Gdolei Yisrael. And the closer I got to them, the greater I realized who they are. Their personalities, their impeccable character, their unbelievable Tara, Tznius, Yashus. Unbelievable. The more they learned, the greater the Tzaddik, the greater the Tzaddikim. So that's where we are ensconced here in Yeshiva. That's our interest. We don't want to be like Paro. We don't even want to be like the Gol Hador Abimelech. We want to be real Gol Hador. Gol Hador, whose personalities are transformed and transmuted by the Eish HaTorah, by the Yirah Shamayim that we should acquire and nurture and cultivate. And you know how it comes about? Befana Nechta! Isn't that amazing? That through Befana Nechta, Befana Nechta, I can become Dovik and Hashem Yisbarach, and can become a Golub Ador, and a great Talmud Chacham. It's amazing. You might ask, how's that possible? So what's the answer?
Hashem's Torah.
What did he say? Hashem's Torah, that's correct. Because you're connecting to Hashem's Barach. That haircut helps you tremendously. It removed all the mechitzes. And now we just get the neshama. Wow. Hey, smear. I'm going to that barber very soon.
You think we should all get haircuts like that?
What, you all want to be scalped? The Indians were scalped all the time. They had a different kind of scalping than yours, thank God. Yeah. You know what their scalping consisted of? Essentially, they just beheaded a few people here and there. No problem. Anyway, the whole point of this entire discussion was to contrast people who have Chochmah and people who have Torah. Baruch Hashem, Ashrei Nematel Chokeinu. We have Torah, we're able to be Dovik and Hashem is Baruch, and Halavai, we should become, all of us, literally and figuratively, each one of us, one of the Gdolei Ador, in the authentic life.
Amen.